The Big Idea is brought to you by Cafe Moso, located at 307 Orange Road, Montclair, New Jersey. Current hours of operation during the pandemic lockdown are 12 to 8 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 12 to 6 on Sunday. Be sure to check us out at www.cafemoso.com or call us at 973-860-7400. And be sure to mention this podcast to get 20% off your pickup orders. Again, that's Cafe Moso in Montclair. In this issue of The Big Idea, I ask the question, where are the big ideas? I can't begin to express my profound disappointment at the lack of imagination on display at the federal and state level in terms of the leaders, our so-called leaders' inability to come to grips with the crisis that we're currently struggling under and come up with some creative, innovative ideas to get us out of it, to get us back to a way of life that doesn't entail sitting around doing nothing while the economy crumbles. It seems that instead of working together like we did during World War II and other big challenges that this country has faced, instead of working together, we've retreated to two camps on opposite ends of the spectrum. On the one side, we have the people who say, "The hell with coronavirus. Let's just go out and start working like we did back in January, and let's do it tomorrow." And they understand that some people will probably get sick, a lot of people will probably get sick, and many may even die, but apparently the economy is more precious than human life in their minds, and therefore the death of several people, maybe even several thousand people, is a price we have to pay to get the economic engine started again, which I think is just ridiculous. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, I'm willing for people to die for the economy, so long as it's not me. Obviously, no one wants to die for the economy if they're not going to reap the benefits of that death. So that argument has never made a lot of sense to me. But on the other side of the spectrum, the far end of the spectrum, are those who essentially are saying, hey, let's stay inside until this virus goes away. But we know that the virus isn't going away. Even with the efforts, the mitigation efforts of staying inside and social distancing, all we're really doing is, and this has been acknowledged, is flattening the curve. And anyone who took geometry in high school knows that by flattening a curve, you aren't decreasing the volume underneath the curve. You're just kind of spreading it out. So you're not really, by flattening the curve, you're not making the virus disappear, making it safe to go back outside. All you are is spreading out the incidences of contagion. And by doing so, you decrease the risk that your healthcare system will be overrun, which makes sense. I mean, it's definitely, I think, the right first step. But we're beyond that first step. And so it is no longer tenable to maintain that we're just going to stay inside until it's safe to come out, because the virus is going to be there. And unless we come up with some plans, it doesn't make sense just to sit around or even cower while we wait for some magical solution to coronavirus. So what I've been thinking and what I would like to see from leadership at again, federal leadership and state leadership, is a planned attack. And I came up with a few ideas that I think would make sense. And they all start with testing, which has been woefully inadequate in the United States. And that's primarily a federal failing. I mean, if we started testing, if we had a robust testing program of every individual or a majority of individuals, that would allow us to proceed with a bit of confidence as to whether or not we run the risk of a massive reinfection. That is, if we can identify people who are currently infected, we can implement targeted quarantine efforts as opposed to blanket quarantine. We can also do some contact tracing, which is vitally important to mitigating spread of the virus. But all of that is contingent upon testing, and we just haven't done any testing, or at least not enough testing to make that effort a meaningful one. And then secondly, and this is really kind of, this is really bugs me, is that, you know, when the lockdown orders were issued by the various governors and the guidance was given by the federal government, it really took no consideration the variety of our economy. I mean, and that is that every aspect of the economy was not equally impacted by coronavirus. And so I think before we move to reopening, we really need industry-specific guidelines on what reopening will look like. What is the plan to reopen every sector of the economy? And I think we really need to get down to the minutia in doing that analysis. And so if I was a governor of, say, New Jersey, where I live, or New York, which was heavily impacted, and, you know, everyone's lauding Governor Cuomo for doing his daily talks, and, you know, he's doing a pretty good job. But what's lacking, though, is detailed plans for every single aspect of our economy to reopen. If I own a barbershop in Harlem, I want a 5-page guideline of what I need to do to reopen. And so, and the only way you get that is by convening appropriate experts to look at every aspect of the economy and figure out, hey, how can we do this? How can we allow these people to go back to business and still maintain some level of safety? It's not going to be what it was before we got on lockdown, but it can be something. It can be something that allows people to make money. It could be something to allow people to enjoy the services that they want to use, but in a safe way. So, for example, if you're talking about a barbershop, maybe the part of the guidance is that all customers and barbers have to wear masks as well as gloves while getting the haircut. And if you're sick, visibly and obviously sick, then you stay away. And maybe also you implement some type of temperature testing before individuals enter that establishment. Maybe you limit the number of people who can be in the barbershop at a given time, something like that. And that analysis can be brought to bear on every single industry. It doesn't, you know, again, like I said, it never made sense to me that a auto mechanic was treated the same way as Starbucks, where you have 50 people sitting around drinking coffee, clearly a transmission vector, as opposed to a mechanic who you can safely drop your car off with, keep your social distance, get the work done, and pick it up later. So that's where we really failed, I think, in that one-size-fits-all approach. So what I'd like to see is those types of industry-specific guidelines. And it can be done fairly easily. I mean, every state has a board of this or a board of that, a commissioner of this, a commissioner of that. Make those people come up with plans to reopen the industry sectors that they're responsible for. It should be that simple. And also, in addition to industry-specific guidelines, I think we probably need geographic-specific guidelines, particularly in larger states. You know, you look at New York, where, you know, everyone is pretty much kind of jammed into the lower southern eastern portion of the state, and the rest of New York is fairly rural. So why, if I'm living up in, you know, north of Albany, should I be subject to the same restrictions as someone living in the Bronx? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I think from an optic perspective, we think that we need to treat those groups the same, but from a practical perspective, the risk isn't the same. And so it doesn't make sense to punish someone living in a town near the Canadian border of 700 people because, you know, someone, you know, the Bronx and Manhattan is on lockdown. It just doesn't make any sense. So, and then I guess finally, or the last step I would implement is to make this guidance public, you know, to have it put on the website, to go over it during daily briefings, to make sure that every single person who's impacted knows exactly what they're supposed to do. That's one of the huge failings of the ridiculous and inconsistent advice we get from the federal government on a daily basis, is that it's nowhere near being consistent, and therefore it's not actionable. You know, one day we're told one thing, the next day we're told the other. We're given a lot of hype and just basically falsehoods that don't help much at all. So we need to have public, uniform, well-understood guidelines that each individual can look at and say, hey, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to follow if I want to go back to work or if I want to patronize a particular business. And if we have that, I think we can start moving towards an orderly reopening. I mean, I heard today or recently that certain states or Los Angeles, for example, is talking about being on lockdown through July. I mean, I just don't see that happening. It doesn't make sense to expect people to adhere to these strict guidelines when it's 85 degrees and sunny outside in the middle of June and July. It's just not going to happen. And what happens when you set up things that are, you know, invariably going to fail is you just increase frustration. And so you're going to have more of these mini revolts of people complaining that their freedoms are being taken away and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, on the other side, you're going to have people looking at them saying, well, you only care about yourself, you're being selfish. But I mean, neither side is really right. I mean, you really, if we plan, if we think, if we're creative, I think we can find a happy medium that we can all live with, at least for the short term, until the science catches up with the problem, until we develop vaccines and or treatments that will reduce or possibly even eliminate the threat of coronavirus altogether. And so that is my big idea for today. Basically, where are the big ideas? Thank you.